Hey, it's Arrow. I love it. I don't know if it's because I was with the Pam Stone Show or if I'm just some crazy lunatic from the state of Montana, but I love it when a comedian comes into this studio and just lays it all out on the line, and everything that they say has an edge, a funniness to it that you're relating with, and you're sitting there going, "Ooh, man, should I be laughing about this or not?" We are unplugged and totally uncut with comedian Willie Barcena.
This is Dr. Dre beats on.
Hey, man, how are you doing? How are you doing?
East LA, huh?
Yeah, that's where, as a kid, that's where I grew up.
Man, I love East LA. I used to go out to LA all the time.
Yeah.
And I just like hanging around that
man. Yeah, well, actually, I was there for 5-6 years, and then later teenage life until adulthood, I was in Silver Lake. I don't know if you know Silver Lake, but it was like, I'm like one of the last of the Mohicans, because it was voted like the hippest nation, and I mean the hippest neighborhood in the nation by Forbes. And like, it was just a regular neighborhood, and then it just got all weirded out. Hipstered it, you know what I mean?
But
it's a cool neighborhood.
That's what's fun about L.A. is that, yeah. Man, just go a couple blocks, the whole attitude will change.
Yeah. I mean, the taco truck near my house, there's valet. This really is. You have to. I was like, this was the weirdest thing. I went there one time. I got off, and I go, "You gotta give me your keys, sir." I'm like, "For what?" You know.
What I loved about L.A. was on Sundays when you'd go get menudo.
Yeah,
and you'd walk in, you'd sit down, and.
How do you know what? Do you know? Do they? People don't know what menudo are
here
in North Carolina.
Yes,
do they?
Do.
No way, man.
Yeah.
I thought that was more of a like regional, right? It couldn't be out here. You have to go like. I mean,
yeah. There's
Mike. I know you don't know what menudo is. You know what it is?
I will not eat it though.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Well, you know what? It looks nasty, and it's the only reason it tastes good because we put lemon on it and hot sauce.
So
all right.
True.
You put anything lemon and hot sauce on anything, it's good.
That's so funny. But yeah, there's a place over on South Boulevard. Actually, there's three restaurants over on South Boulevard that you know when it's Sunday because they're crowded. Everybody's either getting menudo.
Yeah. Well, you know what it's for, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's for when you're hungover.
Yeah.
It's hungover food. It's like, I mean.
But you have to drink it with the beer.
Yeah, drink it with a beer. Yeah, which to me, it doesn't make sense, right? Because they say it's a cure, all right, for being hungover. But you stay drunk. Do you know what I mean? You stay drunk. They say, okay, I'm cured now. No, you're still drunk. And so you're not hungover anymore. You're drunk again. So, yeah, that's why we do it. We drink that's our cure-all for being hungover is menudo and 5 beers. You know, well, you know what? It's no different what America's doing today, right? Like if you're depressed or you're whatever, they just give you Vicodin or Oxycontin. But we just recommend a couple of beers. Same thing. All right. At least ours isn't expensive. You can go to, 7-Eleven or wherever and you're not going to be a crackhead. You know, you're just going to be a beer head, I guess.
So where did you get the guts to be able to look at life and then go public with it, and kind of, and you don't make fun of people, you laugh with people.
Yeah, bro. Well, you know what? Listen, man, I was gonna be a cop when I was 21 years old. Jeez. LAPD. I was in there with like five friends. We all took the 6 tests that you take, you know. And I'm surprised I passed them myself. Like a psychological interview, psychological written. I passed. I mean, and then I had the agility test. I was in there, bro. You know. But then I went to party with all these other buddies who we were partying because we were going to the academy. And on the way home, I get a DUI. You know. Yeah, man. And it was like, what sucked about the DUI? I blew a .08, which was the limit. You know, come on, the guy could have been cool, but he was a chippy, you know, a CHP, and those guys, they'll give their own mothers a ticket, you know, because, you know, they have quotas. Anyways, I was depressed, and then all my buddies would come over, and they all said, hey, you know, why don't you always talk a lot of trash, that's what you're good at, why don't you go, you should be a comedian, because I went, we used to go to the Comedy Store in Hollywood, and the only reason we would go, my friends would go with me, is because I would heckle the comedians in the back. You know,
that's the one.
Yeah, but I was a good, you know what? I was a good heckler, man. I mean, there's heck, because I've been doing this 25 years. I have people heckle me, and I've yet to find one that can rebuttal, you know? Because, you know what I mean? Like, I'll hear comedians say stuff, and I'll say, that's not true. You know what I mean? Like, black comedians will go like, whatever they would say. I said, no, bro, that's not true. That's you. You can't articulate or whatever. Or they were a Hispanic comedian or a white comedian, and I would just demolish them, man. And so I just figured when my buddies just would say, hey, man, why don't you just go up to yourself? And so that's how I did it.
Wow.
That's how I started.
Wow. Now, 25 years, and you've been on The Tonight Show 12
times? 12 times, yeah. Well, yeah.
Dude, you got to be nervous as hell right now with Jay Leno leaving. You gotta I got to make friends with Fallon.
No, you know what it was? I never pursued that. I was actually talking about TV with Mike. You know, everything that I've ever done with television, I've never actually went after it. And I hate to sound like that, but it kind of fell in. You know, when I the first time I met Jay, I was at a comedy club in Hermosa Beach, and I was just doing a spot, man. And then Jimmy Brogan, who back then booked the show, said, "Hey, Jay wants to meet you," because he had just heard me, you know, and he goes, "Hey, kid." He goes, "Hey," he goes, "what are you?" I didn't know what he meant. Like, what are you? Like, what do you mean? And he goes, "What are you, Italian? What are you, Puerto Rican? What are you?" I said, "Oh, well, I'm Mexican, you know." He goes, "Well, I like your style because you don't use being Mexican as a crutch."
Exactly.
You know, which I don't. Well, and then again, I don't go away from it either. You know what I mean? It's who I am as well. I mean, it's, you know, but it's not a crutch, you know. And anyway, so that's how that relationship started. And I got to know him, and then he brought me on the show many times. He actually was going to produce a show. We wrote a pilot, and whatever happened, it didn't get picked up. The writer really sucked. You know, the guy that we got, I hate to say that, but he was bad. Jay hated it. I hated it. The network hated it. Anyways, so that's happened. Even my specials, man. I was on Comedy Central. I did a one-hour special on Comedy Central. That came by accident. My Showtime special, dig this, bro. I'm about to shoot my third one-hour special, right? I'll tell you how things happen weird for me. I lost some DVDs in Studio City, right? Like a buddy of mine went to go pick up some DVDs to sell, and I tell him, just leave them at this place because we're going to meet at this restaurant, and it was late at night. I go, just leave them in the side, and I'll pick them up, you know? So I go there. They're not there. 2 weeks later, I go, because I had to go on the road. And that's it. And so I thought he forgot to put them there. So I, about 3 months ago, I get a phone call from this guy. He goes, "Hey, Twitter." He goes, "Hey, I know this is going to sound weird, but my name is Steve Longhi, L-O-N-G-I. And he says, "I'd like to meet you. And I'm a producer." I'm like, "Yeah, right." You know what I mean? Hollywood is Hollywood, right?
Yeah, I think
this guy just wants to rub my back. You know what I mean? That kind of thing, bro. So, and then I go, "Well, yeah, I want to meet you too, right?" So he goes, "Come to my house." He goes, "And we'll sit by the pool and I want to talk to you about some things." And I go, "Whoa." And I said, "Well, listen, man, I don't know, you know, it's going to sound weird, but how do I know this is who you are? Why don't we meet at a diner by your house?" So we met at a diner, man. It was a couple of months back. The guy's legit. The guy's made all kinds of movies. And he says he was jogging through the park in Studio City, and he saw a bunch of DVDs on the floor. And he felt, and he goes, "Dude," he goes, "I'm one of those guys that believes in fate. So I had to pick one up, and that's, I saw you, I loved you, and that's how I want to produce your next special." So then
you could be the next Pope or something. You could be the next guy being in the making. I mean, you got some.
Bro, yeah, my stuff, I don't know, man. You know, I'm not a religious guy, bro. I was raised religious, but I my whole thing is I do believe in things are meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very blessed, man. You know, I've been in to be around this business and still working and still, you know, doing what I'm doing.
All right, now being from East LA, though, you gotta tell me what
it's not. But what happened was when I was in elementary school, there was four of us with the name Guillermo. Four of us. So the teacher said, because every time she would call one kid, all four would turn around, and she goes, "This is ridiculous." She goes, "Okay," and she goes, "You're gonna be Bill. You're gonna be William. You're gonna be Willie. You're gonna be Guillermo," like that. So that's how that happened. So, you know.
Wow. Yeah, because my son-in-law is Aguirre.
Yeah, and that's William. It's Bill, right? That could be French, Italian. I don't know. The French pronounce it Guillard or something. It's I don't know. Crazy. But yeah, go ahead, bro.
Now, growing up in L.A. and stuff, what was the dating life like for you out there?
Oh, you kidding me? I had fun, man, because I was a young comedian between. I was already headlining when I was 26, man, you know?
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, I was and Mike, the owner of the comedy club here, you know, he knows. Man, I spent more time banging waitresses than I did telling jokes. You know, I was always getting in trouble. Always, my agent would call me, Willie. You know, we got a note that you know, the waitress, you know, they would fly home with me. You know what I mean? I'm not that I'm a good looking guy or anything. Back then, I was cute. You know what I mean? I was adorable back then. Anyway, so yeah, that's how it was in the beginning. And I actually talk about this now that I'm in my late 40s, man. It's like I'm so glad. Like they always have these commercials that men they have some guy looking like a loser. Hey, do you have a low T count? And the guy's all depressed, right? And then he takes his T pills. And now he's fishing. Right. Oh, before this, I had no, you know, I couldn't do it. Right. I was too scared. But now I can fish because I have my T count. You know what I say, man? Thank God for low T count, man, because I could finally think, bro. You know what I mean? I actually can start a project and finish it, man. You know, I started building a table and I finished it, bro. I mean, I finished it. I sanded it. I stained it. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, bro, you're led by another head, you know what I mean? and he's the one that tells you what to do in the morning. You actually have plans, but he'll say, no, let's go to the mall and look for chicks. All right, let's do that. But yeah, you know, I'm glad that, yeah, as you get older, and there's no, you know what, and that makes sense, right? Because you think of all the great leaders in the world, they've all been leaders late in their 40s or 50s. That's when it starts. I mean, even Abraham Lincoln, remember he was a loser lawyer until he was in his 40s. Then he finally said, okay, man, I'm going to stop dating black chicks and you know, and I'm going to free them, you know, and I'm become the president. You know, I'm not doing anything, getting one at a time, man. Maybe if I let them all go.
Do you ever walk through the Getty Museum over there in L.A. and think, I need something of me in here?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, man.
What would you put up there? Next to Andy Warhol?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What would I... my Chucks. Sorry, man. My Chucks. These tennis shoes. I'm a big... yeah, you know what? People always go like, you know, because I always wear Chucks, man. Converse. I don't know. But you know what it is? People always go, that's all you ever wear, man. And the reason is because when I was a kid, I was poor. You know, I don't know if you know this, man, but... you know, it stays with you psychologically. I don't know, you know, and it's not something... Being poor, I hate when black comedians or Latino comedians talk about it as if it's only for black or Latino. You know, so many... white poor people, do you know? But the thing is that they don't go back and they don't relive it every day of their lives. And if you do that, you stay in that circle. But that being said, yes, man, I could never afford real Converse, so yeah, I would put those in the museum because I always wore. I don't know if there was that place still around, but Kinney shoes. Do you remember Kinney shoes? Yeah, they would sell shoes that looked like Converse. They were called NBAs. Yeah, and the only way you could tell that they weren't Converse is the stripe that goes around the Converse was a little thicker. And man, once the other kids found out, it was over, bro. Yeah, man, you got NBAs, man. Those aren't Converse. Anyways, yeah, I mean, man, I remember.
You're in your mid-40s wearing Converse. What the hell is your back feel?
No, you know what? I have those orthopedic things inside of them, bro. Yeah, I have those. They cost like $40, dude. Yeah, yeah, I'm not young, dude. You kidding me? A good call, bro. I know that. Yeah, yeah. No, no, for sure, bro.
No.
Look, dude. Yeah,
see,
yeah.
Jordan charges $125 for his shoes and more, and you just got a pair of $125 shoes there, too.
Yeah, these are comfortable, man. I go jogging in this. People are like, wow, he's going to hurt his back. No, bro, I got like $60 orthopedic things in there, man. But, yeah, you know how it is, man. You get older, everything slows down, bro. You know, you need help. Yeah. Yeah, I know everything, man. Even my wife thinks, now that I'm older, my wife thinks I'm a better lover, too, man. Honestly, I don't know how.
Taking your time?
Nick, I'm taking my time, bro. You know, I used to be when I was younger. I was like a machine gun, man. I was like, ow! Right? Now that I'm older, I'm like a sniper, man. I got one shot. You know, you know what I mean? I gotta control my breathing, man. You know, let's do this right, man.
How many kids you got?
I got three boys.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, bro.
In their teen years.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're walking hormones, man. Yeah, yeah. I got 18, 17, and 9. Surprise, bro. Yeah, that last
and,
one.
And doing the texting as they're walking.
Well, they don't text as much. I think that's more for girls. Like if you have a teenage girl, they're more into. These guys are, they're athletes, man. They're baseball guys.
Oh, wow.
My 18-year-old was ranked 24 in the state of California in baseball. Now, that's pretty, I mean, in California, I mean, that's a baseball state. Yeah, to be, you know, he's a stud, man. But then he choked his senior year because he got bad grades. So, yeah, so he ended up at a JC, and so that's where he's at right now. And then the other one I got, he's a junior in high school. And then the little one's a little fat ass, but you know what I mean? But we're going to get him in shape, man. It's just, that was my wife, man, because she was always like, oh, you're too hard on the boys. You're too hard on them. Okay, you're not going to treat him like him. And I let her. I go, okay, you know what? You have to lose some battles to win the war. So I go, all right, I'll leave him alone. We'll do what you say. So that guy played video games forever, yeah. And he just ate Twinkies, and he's just a little butterball, right? But now she's like, you know what? You can do something with him. So finally, now we got him on track. You know, he's in boxing and he's playing baseball. And he's built to be a punching bag right now. But we're gonna get him in shape. You know. But yeah, that's three teenage boys. If anybody has teenage boys, I tell you what does happen when you have teenage boys. They always take those 2-hour showers. You know what I mean, bro? Their showers are always a little too long, man. Like, come on, dude, just get it over with, man. You know, they always come out of the shower. They look like a newborn calf, you know. It's funny because I remember I dropped off my kid, and he goes to a JC in San Diego, and I remember I gave him the speech, hey, son, you know, there's a lot of chicks here, and but stay focused, man, you know, get all the chicks you want, you know, do what you have to do, but don't lose sight of you while you're here. And you know, I felt like a hypocrite because I thinking about it, it's almost a double standard because I thought, I wonder if I had a daughter, if I would say that, you know, if I would drop off a daughter in college and go, hey, baby, listen, you give me a lot of dudes, you know, you know, get it all, you know what I mean? Tear it up, but, don't lose focus, you know, but, I don't know how we got there, but, my mind wanders, man.
So, do you ever go up into the Santa Barbara area
and just
dominate that area?
No, yeah. I just came from a trip. We went. I had a gig on Sacramento for the last week. I was in Sacramento, San Francisco, Monterey, California. I don't know if you know Monterey. It's beautiful. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really good clam chowder and seafood out there.
Billy Jack lives up there in Oxnard.
Billy Jack?
Yeah.
What Billy Jack are we talking about?
We're talking about the guy that was the martial artist in the 70s.
Really? Dude, you are the first person of the many years that I've been doing stand-up to reference Billy Jack. Dude, can I tell you something, man? I got into karate because of Billy Jack when I was a kid. I used to go by, because, you know, it actually wasn't him doing the kicking. It was a Korean dude that had a studio in Santa Monica. And I used to take the bus, and I used to walk through the front just to look at the teacher. I forgot the guy's name, little Korean dude. But I took the same style he took. Which was Hapkido.
Yeah.
I took Hapkido because...
Which is a spin-off from
Taekwondo. They both suck. Right? Now that we know all about MMA, you know, Hapkido sucks. Now, you know, I remember getting my ass kicked, you know, because I had a good step side kick. You know, I had a good front kick. I had a good roundhouse. But then the kids in the neighborhood, they take you to the ground, man. And you're like, you know, mom. And, No, but I remember doing that. You know, I used to love that. All those Bruce Lee movies, man, I used to love how Bruce Lee would fight three guys at a time. Remember that? And then there would always be like a guy behind him, but he needed to wait his turn, right? Remember that? I remember in the neighborhood, man, I had like one guy in front of me, you know, and then there was a guy behind me, but, you know, they'd always forget to wait their turn. You know what I mean? But no, yeah, I got my ass kicked a lot because of Billy Jack and Bruce Lee and those guys, because I believed in that, man. I thought a step sidekick was going to scare the world. But he just dirtied someone's shirt. Like, all right, you're going to get your ass kicked now, man.
When O.J. was in the news, did you go over to his house?
O.J.?
Yeah.
No, you know, I never went around. That whole thing creeped me out, to tell you the truth. Yeah. It didn't – I wasn't when that whole O.J. scam thing happened, I wasn't excited by it. You know, it almost became as if – the whole thing was surreal. You know, people would go by and take pictures. To me, I thought, this guy is a murderer, man. This guy's an animal.
We did a radio show from his house.
Oh, did you?
God. His security was watching us the entire time.
Right?
It was, well, because they were Bob and Sherry, who are here in Charlotte, and then I was, and we were out there on the phone, and we were, so they start their morning show at 6 a.m., uh-huh. So I was out there at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
But I mean, are we talking, this is before he did his deed.
No, he was in that house. This is the house where the security was out
there.
Yeah, yeah. And he was still out there just, but he was in the house. Dude. But he had that freaking wall is what he had.
You know what? That's, to me, all that whole OJ thing, like I told you, it creeped me out. Anything like that, to me, it's like, it's real dark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that he's in jail for is poetic justice, man. The fact that he's in jail for what? Like just telling somebody he's going to kick their ass, right? And he got life for that. That's just the karma angels going, oh, well, come on, we didn't let you go, bro.
Well, that's like down there in Florida with the Zimmerman. He got busted.
But
he smarted off to his wife and hit her.
No, bro. You know, yeah, yeah. And then he's going to be in there for a long time. I'm a true believer, man, in energy. And as much as, you know, and this is where me and my wife had a lot of conflicts. She actually left. We separated for 3 years. But we would pull, man. She was pulling me from one side. Because I don't believe in organized religion, right, bro. All right? And I do believe in karma. I would tend to believe more in the Dalai Lama than I would in any other religion. You know, I believe like everything, we're all energy and we manifest what we want. And my wife was like, you know, she had pictures of like Jesus, you know, on the walls. And I would tell her, take those down, man. You know, he looks like he's asking for help. You know, I want to take them down. You know, he's like, hey, you know, come on, take these nails off. Right. And I'm like, and she's like, you know what? You're just, you know, you're making fun of it. No, I'm not making fun of it. This is where we would argue as a husband and wife. And finally, as I got her, not that I'm not an atheist, man, but like I do say on stage, I don't know.
Yep.
See, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's a God. I don't know if there is a God. I don't know, man. But I know this much. If there is a God, I'm going to go to heaven, man. You know why? Because he's going to know that I didn't know. You know what I mean? Right? He's going to go, come on in. You didn't know. You know who's in trouble. Yes, that's right. You know who's in trouble? The people that go to church every Sunday and you're jerks, man. You're in trouble. You're going to be at the gate, man. You know, why can't I get in? Willie's in there. Willie didn't know. All right? You know? I mean, that's where I'm at, bro. I don't know. And then there's people that will yell at me after I do a show because as Mike, I don't know, Mike's here, I kind of want him to co-sign. I'm one of those guys where like, tell him, bro. Am I right? My comedy really comes from truth, man. Do you know what I mean? It comes from the seed of what I write is truth. And I'll have people come up to me and go, you need God. Okay, what was that? 3 weeks ago, some guy was yelling after. He goes, you need God in your life. You need God, right? Yelling at me. And I go, I know, bro. Tell him. You know? You know? But, yeah, it's funny. Like I say, a lot of people say, you know, oh, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. And I say, man, that's the stupidest thing you can tell another human being, or the stupidest thing a human being can tell you. So it's really, let's not talk about our existence. Let's just be and die, right? Well, you might as well go to a closet and sit there and eat and have a toilet in there and wait to die, man. You know, I don't know. It's like, okay, people go, yeah, you have all this advice about marriage and stuff, but your wife left. Yeah, she left, but there was a lot of lessons I learned, man. I mean, Dr. Phil, you know, yeah, you know, I wish Dr. Phil would just tell the truth, man. I wish he would get on, look at the camera and go, look, people, you don't need me. All right. The only reason I'm here is because I make a lot of money, man. All right. It's really all common sense. All right. Everybody go to the Barnes and Nobles and pick up a book on common sense. All right. Good luck. All right. What bothers me about that, bro, about all that advice he gives about marriage, I don't know if you're married, bro.
I am.
Okay. Is that his wife waits for him after the show, and she just waits there. Have you ever seen that?
Where hey, Phyllis.
I don't know. His wife. And then she waits there, and he picks her up. He gets her hand, and she walks. And then it makes all us guys look like morons. Like, look, that's how you should be with your wife. Well, you know what, bro? I'm going to tell you something, Dr. Phil. Nobody makes, you know, you're in the 1 percentile of the nation that makes millions of dollars. I know if I made millions of dollars, I can have my wife sit anywhere I want, you know? Wait there while I conduct this interview here, with this, you know what I mean? And then I can go get her hand and she could smile, right? She always looks like she's sedated, all right? Doesn't she look sedated to you? It's like, and he always whispers something to her, like he's telling her, everything's okay, just keep walking. You know what I mean? What wife does it? Bro, would your wife sit here and just be quiet and sit there while you're doing your show the whole time? And then when you're done on the radio, you say goodnight, everybody, and you grab her hand like she's a dead puppy? Come on, bro. All I'm trying to say, man, is I wish people were more real about things, especially when it comes to what I was talking about, relationships, man. And isn't there like a drastic percentage of people getting divorced today?
Right, 52%.
52, man. That means only one out of every two marriages makes it. And that's because people aren't telling the truth. People, okay, you need to communicate. Okay, you need that. Marriage sucks, man. Marriage sucks. You want to get married? Marriage sucks. All right? That all that horny thing, it'll go away. You know what I mean? You can be horny for a while, but after that, man, it's really hard to sustain that horniness when the bills come in. You know what I mean? It's really hard to be horny when you got the house note, you know? So that's what people got to tell you. People from the get-go should say, as a matter of fact, when you get married, there should be 5 couples behind you, like, scared straight, just yelling stuff out. You know, is this what you want? You want this? You want a piece of this?
Willie, you're at the Comedy Zone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
Man, that's incredible. That's incredible. Well, we'll go do some Menudo on Sunday?
Bro, I mean, if you come down, man, you'll understand what I'm saying, you know.
yeah,
right on, bro. Thank you for having
me,
brother.
Thank you so much,
Willie. I appreciate you, bro. Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for being real.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you, man.
So much.
You come out?